Not all of our kids will grow up to be professional writers, but the ability to write well on any topic of interest fosters thoughtfulness and intellectual clarity. Today's guest, author and writing instructor Sherry Blomquist, will give us some great tips on integrating writing into other subjects.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and today my guest is Sherry Blomquist, offering tips on integrating writing into other subjects. Sherry Blomquist is a freelance teacher and author, as well as the mother of four daughters and one son. She's been part of the homeschool community since 2005 as a parent and as a teacher for various tutorial programs. She also teaches part-time for an online school. In addition to her work in education, she has written fiction, poetry, and other materials for various programs and publications such as the Old Schoolhouse magazine, and she is the author of two books, Before Austin Comes Aesop, the children's great books and how to experience them, and Maria Von Trapp and Her Musical Family. Those are from Ignatius Press. Currently, she lives in Independence, Missouri, where she continues to write and teach. You can learn more about her work on her website, Once Upon a Pen. And that's in the show notes. It's onceuponapen.studio. Okay, so Sherry, it's so nice to see you again. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, no, I love to have these rich conversations with you. We always have a really fun time, and you always teach me something. So I'm really eager to have this conversation about integrating writing just into the whole, in lots of different things that we do in our homeschools as we raise our kids. So would you start us off with just talking about some of the benefits just of learning to write well?
Oh my goodness, so many. I like to think of writing as the art that it is. And we have writing as a fine art and we have writing as a practical art. And from the fine art side, you know, when we view writing through the lens of fine art, we stretch our creativity. We examine it artistically. We practice beautiful language and style, and we draw from the great literature that we read, and we try some of those the things that we learn from that literature for ourselves, and trying to generate stories and poems of our own, or you know, ideas of our own, and expressing ourselves, you know, self-expression. But then there's the practical side, practical art of writing. And that is the life skill that writing actually is. You know, when we teach our children all sorts of life skills, swimming and, maybe, you know, singing and cooking and chores, you know, around the house. But writing, you know, and as seen through the lens of a practical art, is also a life skill, because it is something that your children are going to use for the rest of their lives in a variety of different ways. Even if they're, you know, a blue-collar worker with, you know, just like a plumber or something, they need to know how to write emails, or, you know, correspond with businesses. And, you know, and it's those who can communicate clearly and effectively, you know, not only are in better shape than those who can't, but they also, you know, they also have a better presence, and, you know, with those that they communicate with, and they will communicate with much greater confidence, as well. I mean, there's, you know, it adds to our confidence. So writing is something we use so many times in life, and to have the experience of writing all sorts of things, just deepens that confidence and grounds us for all kinds of situations.
Yeah, I remember when I was teaching writing for Homeschool Connections, I had one child, he was such a good writer too. Every single writing exercise I gave him, unless there was a specific topic he was asked to do, he would write about spiders because he was so passionate about it. And so you could see clearly there was integration there with science and you know, who knows what all else was happening there, but with a passion of his, which just lit up his writing. So I just see that as one of the advantages. Talk about more of the advantages of integrating writing practice, just in everything that we do in our homeschools, or most everything.
Right. Yeah. Now, as a writing teacher, I intentionally confine my assignments within, within just the realm of writing. I don't try to integrate in my actual writing lessons, because I want kids to focus on the skills I'm trying to teach them and not trying to do two things at once, so to speak. But it is essential at some point to apply what we learn. You know, it's one thing to do a grammar exercise and learn what the subject and predicate is and how to, you know, what subject verb agreement are. But if you don't actually apply them to real writing, you're not actually grounding yourself and mastering those skills. And it's the same with writing. It's great to know how to do a topic sentence or, you know, an outline or things like that. But if we don't actually apply them to real world or, types of projects, you know, papers and stories and all kinds of things like that, then those skills just retain, you know, just remain theoretical skills. When we, you know, to assign all sorts of different writing projects to our children, in a variety of different subjects, just helps expand their minds, helps them use their skills, deepens their confidence, helps them express their creativity. And it also gives them the challenge of having to write about things and subjects that they may not want to write about. Like, you know, if they're artsy and they have to write about science, you know, that's a good, you know, that's a challenging and stretching. And so for all those reasons, you know, we want to help our children branch out from writing programs into cross-curricular activities and projects and papers.
Yeah. And you know what I love too? I love everything that you're saying about that, because we do want to stretch and challenge them. It's not that most homeschoolers are just doing whatever their kids want to do, right? We are challenging our kids. There's also that thing that learning how to organize your thoughts does in the development of your brain. And if you're applying it across the board, that ability to kind of have a mental outline and then to start to explore and research and back up your statements and all of that, and to write it well mechanically, my goodness, what they've got going out into the world, that just starts to come naturally to them at a certain point.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure. I know that the skills that I learned in school, you know, in my writing education, I use it all the time. I don't think about it necessarily. I don't think, okay, now I've got to go back to this lesson. What did my teacher teach me about this? No, I mean, if I practiced it so much that it's become ingrained. It's become a life skill that I use over and over and over in multiple situations. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really is. It's one of those things your kids won't thank you now. They'll thank you later.
Yes, for sure. Yes, I, that is absolutely right. I don't remember enjoying writing lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so good. It's so good. So if you would just kind of bullet point what we're going to cover in the second half before we go on to our sponsor break, just so people are kind of primed and ready for the second half of the show. And let's hear some of the tips.
So all subjects, every subject your child does invites writing opportunities. So you as the parent, or as the parent, you know, the educator, you know, just a few things to keep in mind, because it's a little loosey-goosey. You're not going with a structure like, okay, now we're going to do a topic sentence. Now we're going to do detailed sentences and supporting sentences and all that. Now you're having your child kind of go out and explore different subjects and apply what they learn. So, you know, for one thing, you want to be intentional. You know, you don't have to plan some elaborate curriculum for all this, but you can be intentional in the kinds of projects you assign. Second, don't try to do everything, because there are hundreds of different kinds of projects you could do, and you'll drive yourself crazy trying to do everything. But if you try to do variety of them and you know, just you're gonna do well. Third, you know, don't overlook some obvious opportunities that I think some parents view as busy work, which I can get back to you later. And then, you know, also you can make writing more meaningful by creating real audiences. You know, it's not very inspiring to write for nothing, you know, for no reason. And some students just chafe at that. Like, why am I doing this? But you also create meaning, for some of the, at least some of the projects. And then finally, don't forget to scaffold your these projects with the model, good models. It's sometimes students just they need to see it something done. If you want your child to write a sonnet, they need to read Shakespeare's sonnets or some other famous sonnets to understand what a sonnet is and what a good one looks like, that kind of thing. So some good scaffolding. So those are kind of some things that I have in mind.
Great. I can't wait to dive in. We're going to just cut away for just a few seconds for our sponsor break to hear from the wonderful folks at Homeschool Connections. And we'll be right back with Sherry Blomquist talking about integrating writing into other subjects. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now, back to our program.
All right, we're back with Sherry Blomquist, and we're talking about integrating writing into other subjects. And you named several tips a few moments ago, so start us off with the first one. What do you mean by being intentional?
Well, I'm one of those people, if I don't have some sort of structure in the back of my mind of how I'm going to do things, including this podcast, mm-hmm. I can just get totally off course, and or else worse, I get so confused, I don't do anything at all. So I don't know about other people, but I need some sort of structure, even if it's a loose one. And so when I say be intentional, I mean, you don't have to have some detailed curriculum plan for how, this week we're going to do this, and I'm going to have all these different parameters for my student to follow, and then we're going to do this, and it's all going to flow really nicely. I mean, that's great. That's maybe in an ideal world, but, we're parents, and we don't necessarily have time for that. But we can still be intentional in the way we assign writing projects to our kids and have some sort of a mindset of some sort of structure. Have a really focus on having a variety of things of low risk projects versus high risk, so to speak, where like journal entries or maybe just an exercise, a paragraph, but you don't give any critique, just practice, just actually just writing. It's said that you learn to be a good writer by writing, and that's partially true. I mean, you need to have some guidance, but there's some wisdom to that too, that if you don't get lots of practice, you don't have a chance to hone your skills or to read what you've written and say, I could do better. I should have done it this way. You don't even have a chance for self-reflection. So some low risk activities where, you're not criticizing every aspect of the paper or piece is important, but also some high risk ones where you examine all the different parts and give feedback and maybe have the child revise. So a variety in that way. Also a variety of genres. There's four main types of writing: the persuasive, narrative, descriptive, and expository. And within all of those categories are multiple different types of writing. Under the persuasive umbrella, we have argumentative writing, letters to the editor. We have persuasive, general persuasion, emotional persuasion. You can write commercials. I mean, there's all sorts of different sorts of persuasive writing. And so you can be intentional in trying to hit, a draw from each of those four categories so that your student has the chance to write a variety of different pieces. You can be intentional in the formats. For example, journal writing is a really great way to begin each class in a way. Like when I teach literature, like if I teach a tutorial class, literature class, which I've done in the past, I would assign a journal question about the novel that we were reading or something, and it would be open-ended so that the student could write about it and not worry about getting it wrong, maybe apply it to his or her own life. So journal writing is low risk and creative in the sense that it can be interesting and fun to write about. But then, you know, some other formats would be, you know, you've got your formal papers, you know, maybe a book report or maybe a letter to Aunt Martha, or, you know, maybe a multimedia presentation that the child would present to the family, or, you know, even some public speaking exercises where the child has to report something orally. You know, and one of my favorites was when I taught a writing class some years ago, and I would do this again if I had the opportunity, is I had, and I did this during student teaching as I remember, I would have, at the end of the course, the students had to write a picture book. They had to take an expository piece, but they had to write it at a child's level, like a, you know, 5 to 8 year old level. And they had to, illustrate it and bind it and create, you know, they actually had to sew the pages together with needle and thread or like ribbon, or, you know, they had to come up with some sort of binding and a cover. And it was a really fun project, and it had some creative value, as well as practicing, you know, they had to practice all the skills that they learned. So different kinds of formats are also, useful and develop different, you know, good skills. You know, just when I, you know, you can find prompts, do research writing, you know, so there's, you know, there's all different sorts of ways you could do it. But intentional and just having that variety. So, you know, as you are, pursuing an intentional plan for your student, you know, try not to get overwhelmed and thinking, I've got to do all of this. You know, what if I don't cover all these things? And that's okay. You know, some things can be revisited years later. Just having a variety and hitting all the different basic categories and some different things is going to be enough, you know, just provide lots of opportunities. But there are some opportunities that you want to be careful not to overlook. And that was my third point. It's very easy to forget that there are some writing opportunities, for really solid just practice within your general curriculum. For example, and if you have younger children, narrations, you know, oral or written narrations are an excellent opportunity for composition, in retelling a story or a chapter of a textbook or something like that. And that can be an excellent opportunity for drawing facts together and presenting them in an organized way. Essay questions on tests. I don't know about you, but I went to a schools that were very traditional back in the 70s and 80s. And I remember an awful lot of tests that were multiple parts, where like one part would be multiple choice, then we'd have true or false, and we'd have fill in the blank and so on. And then invariably at the end, at least in middle school and high school, we would have short essay where you'd write, you know, a couple sentences. We'd have to write complete sentences. And then we'd have a part where it was a longer essay. And this was more like maybe high school and college, where we would have to answer a prompt, but a full essay as part of the test. Sometimes they were timed, and my teachers are none too nice about it. If you didn't finish in time, too bad. You know, today teachers tend to let kids come back, but not my teachers. If you had to learn to budget your time, if you didn't finish, it was just too bad. Those skills, just even the time, the timed aspect of it, and giving an essay question, is an excellent opportunity to practice some of the lessons you've taught them in maybe your more formal writing program, if you use one. And then, you know, even just the questions, like discussion questions in a workbook, or, you know, or just discussion questions at the end of a textbook chapter, you know, sometimes you think of them, those are just busy work, you know, they're not maybe that important. But those can be excellent opportunities, not only for drawing on the information of the chapter, whatever it is you're studying, they're also excellent opportunities to practice paragraph skills, writing clean, beautiful sentences, which, you know, that, you know, and you don't have to do all of them. You don't have to grade every single one, but maybe even assigning just a few for them to practice doing their best work in expressing not only the right answer, but also expressing that answer in a well-developed, I hated that word as a kid, but a well-developed paragraph. I mean, there isn't really any other word for it, you know, it's just, good support. And so that's one thing that's easy to overlook. And then again, journal writing. And that means cross-curricular journal writing, like, you know, maybe a prompt that's related to your subject, but also a personal journal you might encourage. You could, this sort of a personal thing, but you could have your child keep a journal that you promise not to read, maybe, so they can be free, or one that you say, well, I'm going to read this, you know. But you can write whatever you want otherwise, however you want to do that. But something where they can just be themselves on the page and develop their voices and their style, which can be very intimidating in more formal projects. But when they have more creative projects or more personal projects where they can't get it wrong, those can be, freeing, liberating, for at least for some students, and help them express their voices, which is extremely important down the road for writing, using their own distinctive voice later. And then the fourth one is that I encourage you to make your writing more meaningful. There's sometimes students, they just feel it's just a waste of time. And that's true for any subject, right? You know, how many times have you had your, I've heard students say, well, why do I have to know calculus in real life? Why do I have to know, who General Lee, Robert E. Lee was? Or, why do I have to know these things? And we can give them an answer. And I think that's really important to give answers. Why are we making them spend years studying this stuff? But, we can do that with our writing projects too. And we can explain why it's meaningful. Well, it'll help you hone your style and your voice, and it'll help you, practice your creativity and all that. But sometimes it's good to give a deeper meaning. Like, we're going to write this letter to Aunt Martha because she's alone and she wants to hear from you. Or we're going to write this letter to the, letter to the editor because we don't like, we want to express our view on this political issue. Or, and then suddenly they have an audience and they have a real purpose, and it becomes meaningful, and they realize, I have power in my fingers, in my mind, and I can do something with this. I can affect somebody else with what I have to say. And so what I say and how I say it actually might matter in this situation. And so when we give them something where it's meaningful, that can immediately elevate their writing, and it can also draw them in and help them enjoy it. I remember when I was in second grade, I was just doing little assignments, that my teacher gave me. I could barely write. I was second grade. But I remember that in that class, my second grade teacher came up with the idea of having a little people's paper. That was what she called it, a little people's paper. And so it was like the little class newspaper. And she assigned everybody a little part of this little people's paper. And I remember kind of having a dim understanding of it. I mean, I don't think I fully understood it, but she made me editor. And I didn't know what that meant. but I do remember that it made me feel kind of important. It gave me a purpose. It gave me something, some responsibility. And even though I didn't really understand the responsibility very well, or at least in my mind now, I didn't really understand. Maybe I understood better than what I remember. But I remember thinking, this is something important. Miss Dieter is counting on me. So I gotta do this right. That was maybe my first time thinking that what I wrote mattered to somebody. And in third grade, I remember writing a story. It was just for myself. I wrote a story called The Grandfather Clock Mouse. And my stepmother copied it by hand and found it in this beautiful journal. And I remember, like, wow, it's illustrated. It's, it's in this nice handwriting. And this is from my dad, and and it was just, there are these little experiences that make you think, validate you as a writer, think, what you have to say might matter to somebody. And I think that's important for kids, even if they're never going to be professional. I mean, I ended up writing professionally, but I could have just as easily not. That was a conscious choice I made to work on those skills I needed to be published. But I could have just as easily thought, like some of my friends who could also write, and they didn't want to publish, but they're still very good writers and they still have those skills. And that has made a lot of difference in their lives, just maybe in a different way. So I don't think I sit very well with some classical educators in some of my points of view, because, you know, I actually love classical education. I did that with my own kids, a lot of that. But when it comes to writing, I think it's really, really important to allow our students some self-expression, maybe more than what, more than what might classically be encouraged. My son did a classical program for years. I still love the program, but I think I diverge a little bit on that. I think that self-expression and creative projects and making your kids do stories and poems and you know, personal essays and things like that are so important for expanding the creativity and gaining confidence. And then they look back at them, they grow up, and they got this, you know, these special records that that came from them. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then my last point was that, you know, don't forget to scaffold not only with the lessons you teach your kids. You know, it's great to teach thesis statements, and it's not just great, it's necessary. You need to teach thesis statements and research skills and, how to write a persuasive paper, an argumentative paper, or an expository paper, whatever. But we also need to show our kids what good writing is, and not just through a good literature program, although that's important, but also intentional, like presenting them with a model. When you ask them to write a certain type of writing, give them a model. When I taught the children's picture book in my writing class, I had one to show them. This is from, I don't remember what exactly I showed them, but I had an example. And that helps them see, oh, okay, this is what I can aim for. At least this is what it looks like. And I can veer from this and be creative in these ways and do my own thing, but this is kind of my foundation. So that's important too, good scaffolding.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I really appreciate the progression of this too, of just kind of being able to walk around it. It almost feels really organic, like what's the importance of the writing? What makes writing exciting, meaningful, useful, excellent, you know, all of that. And then exploring it in a more holistic way in the midst of all the other kind of learning and interacting we're doing with our kids. I'm sure that everyone listening their ideas are popcorning. You know, like there's so much richness here and so many opportunities to explore this in unique ways in our families. So what thoughts would you like to kind of leave us with? What would you like to take us out with? Anything you recommend as a starting point, or just wherever you're landing, Sherry, with this?
Yeah, no, I, you know, in preparing for this, I went back into my own memories of how, you know, I needed to connect to something I personally knew in order to really think through the topic. And, and I kept going back to the way I was taught to write. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I went through very traditional schools. I went to Christian schools. I'm a Protestant convert. So I went to Protestant Christian schools, very small ones. And I remember, you know, growing up that I'm not sure I got the best education overall, as far as the academics, but it was very focused academics. But one thing I remember my teachers did a lot of was give us lots of different ways to, lots of different types of projects. I remember doing dioramas and rock collections. And, I remember having to show my work in math, which is a kind of writing, if you think about it. I remember having to do especially a lot of creative writing. And that's one thing I've noticed is very different in that I would, from what I see in writing programs today, that I kind of wish would go back to the way it was in the olden days, or at least in my olden days. There's one thing that I think feel like my teachers did well, I think has been lost. They didn't teach me some of the concepts very well that I teach kids today. I wish I had gotten more of it anyway, such as how to write a thesis statement, that kind of thing. But they did do very well with giving lots of creative opportunities. And this was in the 70s and 80s when my teachers were really kind of old school and kind of dull in some ways. But they did a really good job at providing lots of creative opportunities. I remember writing tons of poems. I never see kids write poems anymore. I wrote tons of poems in school. I mean, I could show you a whole notebook full of my elementary writing, full of stories and poems and things like that, that I wrote for school, not just for fun. I wrote a lot for fun too. But I mean, I could even quote to you one of my poems that I wrote for school, and I'm still proud of it, that I wrote in second, third grade. And, you know, they did a lot of that, and they didn't critique too much. They didn't pick at my spelling. They didn't, you know, they didn't give me a lot of tons of feedback. But they gave me lots of opportunities. And, I do think kids need feedback, but the fact that they let me just write and then gave me A's just in general and didn't give a ton of feedback, did wonders for boosting my confidence, and expanding my creativity. And I think that fed into my ability to write on my own and just have it or do it for fun, which then of course fed into later my work. And I really thank my teachers a lot for that. So I encourage you to give a lot of creative opportunities. It's not a waste of time. The papers and essays and research and all that is really, really important. Don't get me wrong. But also make lots of latitude for creative things and make your kids write poems. Lots of, you know, poems, because that teaches that gives them practice in thinking in beautiful language and in alliteration and consonants and rhythm, and those things transfer to beautiful prose writing as well. So I don't know if that's what you had in mind, but that's kind of the things that were in my head.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter what I have in my mind. I'm delighted to hear what's in yours, because it's so full of nuance. And I love the idea of having kids write poems too, because not every kid enjoys writing. You obviously have gifts for writing, but a poem can be, I think, in a way, low risk because it has such a structure. Like, here's how you write a haiku, or here's how you do this. Here's how you create iambic pentameter. Yeah. There's almost like a mathematical piece to some of it. And it causes them to stretch and reach for, you know, metaphors and sounds and all that kind of stuff. It kind of starts to spark the imagination in terms of what is it that we're developing in the flexibility and creativity of this mind. Like, I remember years ago when my daughter was thinking about going to medical school, we were looking at medical school websites, and they were saying that they had changed tack. They weren't as much looking for bio majors. They were looking more and more for liberal arts majors, people who had the requirements, right? But who had developed themselves in some creative way. They wrote, or they played the piano or something like that, because they recognized that people who were creatively developed made much better scientists.
Are those called, I think they're called meta skills. Is that right? It's a term I've been hearing recently, meta skills, where they're like skills that don't directly apply to a subject, but they do underneath. For example, writing a complete answer to a discussion question is kind of a meta skill for answering a science question. The content's important, but there's that meta skill of thinking through it and being logical in your answer. I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the meaning of that skill, but, you know, a lot of these things that feel like busy work and they're not very important do have importance. And like you say, the creativity. But one thing I wanted to add too is that, you know, I encourage you that there are times you do need to grade maybe in detail. And I encourage you to try using rubrics, because rubrics, at least for me, I don't know if it's for everybody, but for rubrics for me, helped me see when I had a teacher who did them, I could see exactly where I was weak and where I was strong and what I could do to improve. Whereas if a teacher said, this was really good, I really, you know, you could work on this, you know, it's kind of vague. And I think that I would respond better if I'd had, I think I only had one teacher, maybe two, who used rubrics in all my education. And I think that's helpful for helping students understand how to improve. Another thing that I encourage parents to do, if they have time, and for creative projects especially, is consider doing what professional writers do when they are working on a project and they need help, but maybe not picking apart. You know, when they're still in the rough draft stage, I encourage you to maybe sit down with your child, or maybe if you can get a group together with other like-minded homeschool students, and then do peer evaluations. And I've done that in my classes where students have a little group, and a lot of teachers do this in schools too. And this is not my original idea. A lot of teachers do this, but where they exchange papers And then each member of the group will read the paper and express their thoughts, things that are good, things that confuse them, things that they thought could be better in a constructive, friendly, uplifting way. And then, you know, you pass them around, and then the writer has some feedback to go on. But you're not picking at spelling or grammar or anything like that, because you're in the rough draft stage. Don't pick at those things until you're at the end. But that round table sort of thing is what professional writers often do in what they call critique groups. And that could be really useful as well for if you have a student who responds well to that kind of thing.
Yeah,
for helping them grow.
Yeah, and we do, most of us have at least some semblance of a homeschool community around too. Not everybody does, but of course we could do it online as well. But
yeah,
I've been
thinking about putting one together. I've been thinking about doing that through my website. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of in the back of my mind as I've been teaching nonfiction writing for a long time, you know, the skills, and I thought, you know, I need something creatively, but to me that looks like a critique group. Uh-huh. So I thought about doing that for some kids. I just haven't gotten. Maybe by the time this airs, I will have.
I was going to say, keep us posted. Everybody keep an eye on onceuponapen.studio. Something wonderful may be coming for your kids. Sherry, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find Sherry again at onceuponapen.studio. And we've got links for Sherry's books in the show notes. And we're so grateful for the time that you spent with us today, Sherry. Always feel so blessed by our conversations. Thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you having me again.
Oh, you're so welcome. Everybody, God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. And we're praying for you. So please pray for us too. Bye-bye now. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you. And thank you for joining us.